And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, woohoo, what a climate we are in, and how perfectly in a few moments after announcements and weaving of context, we'll bring in our first fantastically apt guest, Eve Ensler, who better to comment on the whole mythological dynamic opportunities of now. So, tomorrow's my birthday, yay, and I'm heading out to California, my other home base. So, Thursday, October 20th, 7 p.m., I will be at Open Secret, 923 C Street, San Rafael, and it's woo, pre-election Halloween town hall, astro-mytho, political guiding meta-narrative for now. Reservations encouraged, 415-457-4191. And then Bioneers, yes, we're going to honor that fully, this all everything. Friday, October 21st, I will be doing my 16th presentation at Bioneers at 9 p.m., Flora Fauna 2016. If you sign up for all of Bioneers, bioneers.org, it's included. And if you just want to come for that, you can do that. It's at the exhibit hall, and that will be a donation at the door. So there's that. And so here we are. It is a full moon, waxing full moon. It will be exact October 15th, 9:23 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. But it's a beautifully fabulous full moon, moon in Aries, woofy, protective, fierce, feminine, disrupting disharmony into egalitarian harmony, may it be so, and it also includes the mythological character and actual dwarf planet Eris, who is the daughter of Night and the sister of Aries, and discord means against the heart, right? Thank you, ally Kathy Pagano, for pointing that out. So that's wild. There's a tide coming up behind us. So more than perfectly today, we will host Eve Ensler, as everybody probably knows, Tony Award-winning playwright, performer of the Vagina Monologues, which has been performed in over 140 countries, the founder of V-Day, we will honor all of this, a global movement to stop violence against women and girls, yes, Donald Trump, which has raised over $100 million. V-Day's most recent global campaign was the massive $1 billion Rising Initiative. That is our first half, and for second half, Bob Goff on indigenous applying indigenuity, native communities adapting to weather extremes and climate variability, reports from Standing Rock, and more. So by way of further introducing Eve, we're just going to play a snippet of this wonderful song by Kim Bookbinder, Pussy Grabs Back. Here's a little snippet.
Pussy. And when you're smart, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Pussy.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back. We've been saying it for years, but you've been blocking up your ears until the man adults it, and now you're all shocked. That stupid look on your face as you look on in disgrace. You know, on November 8th, this vote is getting rocked. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Tired of your sad, sexy stacks. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back.
And we will be playing the rest of that song at our break, but it's a great introduction, I think, to our great ally, Eve Ensler. Welcome, Eve.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be there.
Right. That's really great. So we were speaking backstage briefly. I go, well, Trump is possessed by a cunning, demonic retrovirus shadow of all that ails the world. And we go, yeah. So, yes, and you were saying, let me just hand it to you, going, it's a rising tide of usefulness, right?
Well, I think you can look at it in many ways, you know, and I think for weeks I was not feeling, I was feeling polluted and wildly toxified from this incredible rape culture, just the rise and revelation of Trump and all his misogynistic sexual assaults, but also all of these people who surround him, from Roger Ailes to Bannon at Breitbart. I mean, the list is endless. But over the last 2 days, it's really occurred to me that something amazing is happening. It's as if what has been buried, and we as women have known in our bodies and beings forever, those of us who have worked to end violence against women for the last many years know that violence against women, sexual assault, sexual harassment, are at the core of our lives and impacting us, and is the core issue of many of our lives. And I think what's happening is that it has risen like a toxic swell to the surface, and it's undeniable. And it is presented like the thing about crisis meaning opportunity. It's presented a huge opportunity now for us to really have discourse, to be in dialogue, and to be in radical transformation about living in a rape culture. And I think if we see it as that, and we begin to move on it as that, this could be a tipping point moment.
Absolutely, and just for the divination fun of it, there's a wonderful ally named Dory Midnight who has a great set of tarots called Dirty Tarot. Dirty, not bad, dirty like everything around us is speaking. And I did, before I headed out to converse with you, I picked a card, but two came with it. And so the first card was basement, and it said underground foundation, mysterious dark side emerging. And the second card that was adhered to it was pussy. I mean, really, literally.
Wow.
I've never drawn that card before, and it's all very witty here. And she says, holy cavern of creation, strong passage, dark reservoir of mystery, birth and rebirth. So we're in the basement from which the strength of pussy is emerging. I just love everything speaking to us that way. So, yeah, well, the power of the storyteller. You have been dedicated to storytelling craft for quite a long time, and, you know, again, you'd mentioned, you know, Ailes and Brannon and Breitbart and Sean Hannity, and they're already planning a fifth news network with Trump, right? So this poison, not necessarily going away, but it does toss the baton to yourself, and we spiral it out to everybody to assume storytelling, cultural narrative lead, right?
Exactly. I mean, look, we know darkness will be here. I don't think the patriarchs are going to die easy. I think they will keep reforming themselves like insidious and invisible cancer cells who rearrange themselves in the body to possess a new organ. But I think what has happened now is all of this has given voice and has given energy and has given confidence to so many women and men to begin to really speak out about what it means to be living in a culture that would not only produce a Donald Trump, but would allow him to get this far. And I think, you know, one of the things I was thinking about last night, watching all the various new women coming out, which I knew would happen the minute Donald Trump said he had never groped a woman. I said at that moment, oh, watch, 30 women will be coming out in the next few days. And I think what we're seeing now is what we saw with Cosby, what we saw with DSK. We can go through the litany of powerful men, right, who have gotten away with these, and Roger Ailes. Let's look at Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
24 cases of sexual harassment against him, and essentially running a high-profile sex ring at Fox News. But I think what's happening now is when you look at the First Lady giving a speech with passion on sexual assault, when you look at newscasters arguing with each other about what is sexual assault, how can you, there's real discourse going on. And it's unfortunate the way it's come about, but I think it is a real opportunity for those of us who have been working for years to really seize this moment and make sure we radicalize the culture and never allow this to happen again. And this is the moment for women to say, you will not rape me, you will not touch me, you will not harass me, you will not use sexual intimidation at the workplace. This is our moment. And every woman and every man who longs for the liberation of woman has to be outspoken and bold and not hold back what they feel and what they know. In the same way that one woman coming forward allowed so many other women to come forward against Trump.
I think that's so crucial, you know, because it is priming the pump of our own individual narratives as well as collective. So, yes, no shame, no blame, no cringing, right? Yeah, again, we're just throwing into the cauldron any of that, like, I'm going, no, it's out. Globally, and yes, the larger huge issues before the council in which so many people are joining. What do we reward? You know, what do we reward? How can this man who is no more intelligent than anyway, he's cunning. So with money and this and that and status and well, not status, but anyway, you know, what do we reward?
He's a mythical father, isn't he? Ugh. I mean, he is my father. I know so many people who have had this father.
Really? This is your father?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You know, this slightly, I mean, not to me, but to other people, clearly, slightly charismatic, pompous, arrogant, white, privileged, charming in a very strange way, violent in a subterranean way. You know he's a bully. You know he will do things to you, so there's always a kind of insidious terror that's surrounding you. And I think what's happened is that the mythical father is being dethroned. We're witnessing the dethroning of him, which is actually the dethroning of the empire itself.
Yes, yes.
I think these things are happening simultaneously. And I think what has to happen, because I think I look at the women, for example, who are his surrogates, and I keep thinking, what is possessing them to be speaking out for him against other women? And I think of my own mother. I look at her collusion with my father, right? She had come from the same circumstances of her own sexual terror. And so I think we have different approaches to the perpetrator. We either collude with the perpetrator so as to, in the false hope that it will protect us, or we become silenced, or we speak out and receive the wrath of the perpetrator. And I think now, because so many people are speaking out, everyone has to be willing to have voice, to tell their story, to inform people, to seize this moment to break through denial, to break through shame, to break through guilt, and to break through this fear that if we release this mythic daddy, we're somehow going to be lost. In fact, our freedom is in sight.
Yes. No, this is all so crucial. I always like to encourage everybody to suck the G out of kingdom, right? And what it leaves is kingdom, the kingdom.
Mm-hmm, that's
right?
Beautiful.
Overthrowing the king is overthrowing the king, because I did go to the Republican convention and the Democratic one, both kind of underworldy, on behalf of Pacifica and Coyote Network News. And there was, we want to dissolve mob mind, because individual conversations were quite possible, but the Republican convention was, do you know that Shirley Jackson famous story, The Lottery?
Remind me.
Okay, all right. Well, it's kind of brilliant, and here's the gist of it. It's a very nicey middle class community, but once a year somebody gets a bad lottery ticket and they're put in the middle of a stadium where they're hated to death. Right, and that's kind of what the Republican convention was going, the hatred. And to our progressive team and everything, go, critique, yes, but not hatred, of Hillary or whatever, because that's such an interesting complex. It requires the nuance of yourself, E. Bensler, to go, right, the attacks on Hillary, how much of it is, the woman, and how much of it is just, critique going, yes, you've done some sketchy things and also some good things. But it's such a complex thing, but we do want to throw the vituperative vitriol into the cauldron to compost, yeah?
Absolutely, and I think one of the things I have just been witnessing over these months of Trump is like, who is he really? I mean, I heard someone say something last night that basically he's a commodity. He's a thing. He's a thing without a heart. He isn't feeling the pulse of anything around him. He isn't tuning into the feelings of the people he's disparaging or insulting or degrading. And I think in many ways, he is the capitalist, neoliberal capitalist product.
Yeah.
You know, he has become a thing. And things don't have hearts, right? And what they, the engine of that commodity is stirring up so much terror and so much hatred and so much fear. And, you know, rather than, you know, looking at, I mean, and I'm thinking of the people who are following him. And people have legitimate grievances in this country. People have been sold out by the government in this country, right? People have lost jobs. People aren't respected. We don't respect laborers in this country. We don't respect labor. We don't respect workers. We don't respect, you know, the general respect in America has been lost just for our individual daily lives. So people have real grievances. The manipulation of those grievances is what is most disturbing, because those people will not be getting what they think they're getting. And to see a man who has never had regard for working people, for Mexicans, for, we can go down the list, selling a bill of goods to people who he has contempt for, right, is to me one of the most heartbreaking things of this election.
And I think
part of what we have to do as progressives in the next years is really build real movements that cross this entire country and reach into and connect with the hearts and minds and souls of working people across the country and offer another direction that's palpable and transform that terror and fear and hate into something else. And I think we do that by speaking the narrative and speaking the story of what we want to see this country become, right? What do we want this country to be? And I think that's what all of this kind of climate has opened up, like a platform now for us to really imagine what is the America we want to be living in. And what is the America we want to be interacting with the rest of the world?
Yeah. Well, you know, it is, I've been framing it going, America and world having simultaneous psychotic breakdown, renaissance, take your pick. You know, and the renaissance is, you know, behooves all of us to be, you know, to be inviters going, come on over here to, you know, from the thing that's going down to, we need everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the awakened imagination of right-wing golfers, inner city kids, you know, to do this thing, which is to heal human manners with the earth, you know, we've got big things to do. And the initiation of Mars, which is, our human society has dropped for the last whatever, was always, come, we need you to do this noble thing. I mean, that was, you know, come, we need you to build Stonehenge. We need you to help, you know, create renewable energy. Come over here. No, not there. Because it was, that there was an interview with somebody who's been hanging out a lot with ISIS, which is really Daesh, of course. And he said their recruiting is so joyfully ingenious, and the interviewer was amazed, and he goes, yeah, they say, come join us for this noble purpose,
yeah,
and we will give you health insurance and take care of your family, and we will do this thing. You know, it's the toxic mimic. You know, ISIS, Daesh, and Trump are the toxic mimic of what people really yearn for. Although I do want to spiral back to overthrowing the king, about time, and the whole idea of kingship is a really good idea.
Well, I think too, like, I wrote a piece for The Guardian way back when we started this campaign, Stop Hate, Dump Trump, months ago. And one of the things I said in it is Trump has the potential to be our unifier. I think one of the things we have had a very hard time doing in the progressive movement is joining our movements. We work in silos. We work in kind of neoliberal, isolated sections, right, which has all been set up by the way funding happens and the way donors dole out the money so that we don't get to see ourselves as one united movement. But the thing about Trump is he's shown us how interrelated and intersectional all of our issues are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we can't think about what's going on in Iraq without thinking about what's going on at Standing Rock. These are all part of an imperialist, dominating, aggressive mindset. They're all part of not honoring people in their own lands, right? They're not part of understanding that people have a right to their own destinies and a right to their own lands. And then look at the body of women, how that plays out, that we don't have a right to our own bodies, that people can invade us and occupy us whenever they feel that they desire it because they have the power to do that. look at what's going on with police shootings and the killing of black men and women in our streets. It's all about people having the right to do whatever they want at any moment they want based on their own often racist projections. And I think part of what we have to understand is that we are all in these fights together for the earth, for the end of racism, for freedom for immigration and a welcoming of refugees, and for women standing up for their bodies and for their equality and for a life of freedom and safety. And I think this is the time now to really build our movements where we have regard and the deepest solidarity with each other.
That's brilliant. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, good. It suddenly went very quiet. But yeah, no, and just when I was at the Republican convention, there was a pattern of Venus becoming the evening star emerging. And it's in Mesoamerica, that's Quetzalcoatl, wise leader, king, returning. And it was a historic mistake that when that happened, as the same day that Cortez arrived, and people mistook, you know, the mythological desire for wise leadership to be born in everybody's heart for Cortez, the colonial thug. And that was happening at the Republican convention. So it's like, no, we want wise leadership to be born in every heart, not that guy. So, again, kingship into the cauldron. We did just have Elizabeth Warren taking down the head of Wells Fargo. He's just going away. I mean, he's going away with $50 million. But there are. It's like, all right, the tide is turning.
Roger Ailes go down, and granted, he walked away with $40 million. But we are seeing the crumbling of some of these mini empires. You know, the thing reality right now is, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? How do we make the most of this moment? Right? How do we now offer up another vision of what is possible? And I think one of the first things we have to do is deal with our history, and on every level, history of race, history of genocide towards the indigenous people, history of radical sexism and misogyny and violence towards women in this country. And I think it's a time to expurgate that history, and through the expurgation of it, I know that the vision of the future will come. I've always felt in this country that because we have never dealt with our past, it's like this buried story. I've always waited for the day it would come to eat us alive, you know? And we're here. The story is eating us alive. So what we have an opportunity to do is to take that, wrestle with it, own it, look at it, deeply investigate it, and then come to some kind of transformative energy with it, which will take us on a new path.
Yes. Exactly. Let us also, honor, we are co-presenters at Bioneers, bioneers.org, which will be October 21st through the 23rd. On Friday night, I'll be giving my talk, Flora Fauna 2016 at 9 p.m., and people can come to that. But let's also honor, you have feisty, fabulous colleagues, one of my favorite humans on the planet, Janine Benyus, founder of Biomimicry, and Bill McKibben, and it goes on and on. But you will be presenting on Friday, October 21st, in a plenary. Coconut?
I'm going to be doing a kind of reading performance of a new piece called Coconut, and it's really kind of strangely, actually bizarrely timely right now, because it's really about a woman going into her body to expurgate the past and to find the deepest source of sexuality and pleasure, which I actually think this time is calling us to do. And it was written as part of a larger piece called Fruit Trilogy, with one piece that's a kind of very bizarre take on ISIS and what happened to women who were held in rape camps and sold as commodities. And then another piece called Avocado, which is the story of a woman who is in a who's escaping sex trafficking and fleeing in an avocado truck. And then the last piece is the liberatory piece, which is Coconut. And Kenny heard me read it, and he said, please come and read this and do this at Bioneers. So I'm really excited to do it there. I feel we need to remember our pleasure. We need to remember how we soothe ourselves and heal ourselves, particularly in this toxic time. I don't know anyone who isn't suffering enormous trauma over these months. Sexual survivors, right and left, in my inbox every day. People are re-experiencing sexual assault, re-experiencing sexual harassment. And I think men who are being kind of inculcated or being thrown into this locker room mentality, who aren't those kind of men, are feeling really disgusted and really hurting in the midst of this. And I think really what we need to be doing now is healing and knowing where our pleasure is and knowing where we connect with each other in that pleasure. Because that's where we'll get our source of energy to really build the next movements and the next energy of our fight to transform the world.
That's great. Because, you know, when Inanna emerges from the underworld, the fabulous, trippy poetry from 4,500 years ago from Sumer, which is under Iraq, says she recovers from being in the underworld because it's intense, and you'll see how pertinent this is. And then it says one day she's contemplating the wonders of her own vulva, going, oh, it is so great to be a sexy, pleasurable, pleasuring woman. And that's when the idea occurs to her, like lightning striking, that she's going to rescue human culture that's been stolen by Enki the God. You know, and that's the whole next stage of the adventure. And so we go to all woofy people, to all woofy women, and the woman part of all guys. Those who've survived the underworld, you know, earn the right to be cultural trickster redeemers. And that's where we are now. It's really exciting.
It's so true. By the way, Gina Loring, who's an incredible poet, just put out a beautiful video called Walking Prayers on the OBR website, on the V-Day Facebook page. And I urge everybody to go and see this video because it's this gorgeous calling to womanhood and to women to really see their power and their beauty and their value right now. I'm also really happy at Bioneers that I'm going to be interviewing my dear friend and colleague, Kimberly Crenshaw, who's one of the most brilliant women I've ever met and, you know, really coined the phrase intersectionality, and we'll be talking about race and gender and intersectionality. And then I'm going to be doing this men's panel with fantastic guys, Tony Porter, who started A Call to Men, Luke Harris, who's with the African American Policy Forum, who's an amazing feminist and has really developed a vision of race and gender, Dallas Goldtooth, who is one of the lead organizers at Standing Rock, whose vision of women is so beautiful, and George Lipsitz, who's a brilliant race scholar. And we're really going to be talking about the breaking the male code and the tyranny of masculinity. And then we're going to cap it all off with this incredible dance rising drumming circle with Afia and lots of other powerful people, really doing a kind of ritualistic expression of how we really transform this pain that we're in into another energy.
That's so great. And then just to run down the schedule of what Eve's just articulated, it's Friday, October 21st at 4:30 p.m., Gender, Race, Class, and Violence with Kimberly Crenshaw and Eve Ensler at Bioneers, bioneers.org. And then it's Saturday, October 22nd, 4:30 p.m., Breaking the Male Code, that you just described, the tyranny of masculinity, with really great stand-up guys. And then at 6:15 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, 1 Billion Rising Drum Dance Activation Circle with Eve Ensler and Althea Walking Tree and more. Woof, woof, woof. That's really great. And then also we're about to take a break. I'm going to release you back to your beautiful, productive, effective, mystical life. and we'll see you at Bioneers. But also one of our teammates at Bioneers has made this incredibly generous thing. I'm not quite sure how to handle it, but we're going to give an experiment. She's offered two free 3-day passes to the first people who email me, it's a daring thing, at info@coyotenetworknews.com. So it's two free passes to Bioneers for the whole enchilada, the whole everything, going, yes, we just stirred up there. Okay, that's wonderful. So thank you so much, Eve Ensler, and I really look forward to seeing you at Bioneers, and we're all in this great, resonant, magnetizing, woofy dance together.
Thank you. I love talking to you. And thanks for all your amazing work.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much. Okay, off you go. And all right, so team, yes, again, the Bioneers team has made this incredibly generous offer, which is free. Two free passes for the entire 3 days of Bioneers. It's worth about $1 million. Just to give away to the first two people who email me at info@coyotenetworknews.com. CoyoteNetworkNews.com. There we go. We'll see how that works. Again, that's a very kind and wonderful thing. So we're going to segue now. We're going to play the wonderful Pussy Grabs Back full song by Kim Bookbinder. You can see the animation of it on Facebook, her Facebook page, Kim Bookbinder, or just search Pussy Grabs Back because it's quite spicy and wonderful. And then we will be bringing in our wonderful ally, Bob Goff, applying indigenuity, Native communities adopting to weather extremes and climate variability, many things to say, and reports from Standing Rock and all of that. So here we go.
Pussy. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Pussy.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back.
You haven't been a pussy.
Pussy grabs back. We've been saying it for years, but you've been blocking up your ears. Until the man dusted it, and now you're all shocked. That stupid look on your face as you look on in disgrace. You know on November 8th, this vote is getting rocked. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Tired of your stats, Texas stacks. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy, 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 pussy. If it's unclear, we'll no longer demure. We won't hold your secrets in our feminine pockets. We're not your daughters, your wives. We're humans with lives. And on November 8th, we're gonna rock it. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. You've outlived your third act. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy, 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 pussy. The man's been racist up, but now he's run out of luck. If pussy is his downfall, we'll take it. And if you think it's just Trump, go home, you're drunk. Leave the voting to the big girls, not the rapists. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. You think you're under attack? Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back. Pussy grabs back.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and Pussy Grabs Back. This is the Pussy Monologues show. We just released our fantastic guest, Eve Ensler, of the first half hour, and we're about to welcome our second guest, Bob Goff, on indigenuity again, because the attack on women, the attack on the earth, the drilling, the obsessing, the groping, you know, on every kind of level is tremendously resonant for this rising. Let me say, we have more than enough people who are going for the Bioneers passes. I can see it over here, but so no more emails at the moment. Thank you very much, but do go to CoyoteNetworkNews.com just for fun. And I will be in touch with the lucky winners after the show to let you know what's up, because that was incredibly kind of Bioneers to give away two free 3-day passes to Bioneers. Really great, yeah, because we want to stir it all up. So I will be in touch with the lucky winners after the show. Don't email anymore about that. Okay, so Bob Goff, are you there?
I am here, Caroline. How are you?
Excellent. I'm all the better for hearing your jaunty self. And it was you, actually, who said, I go, I'm having Eve Ensler, and I'd like you to come on, you know, as well. And you go, oh, the Pussy Monologues. So I want to attribute, because it's like, yes, it is the Pussy Monologues. And so we go, yes. And so, there's so many ways we want to go. And I toss it to you. But I was on your fabulous webinar on Wednesday, which we can let people know about so that that builds, because it's free and it's every mid-Wednesday and it is applying indigenuity. And you and, Dan Wildcat. Yeah, and
Kalani Sousa.
Right, there we go. And Kalani Sousa, well, oops, sorry, yes.
No, I just want to make sure that were the three of us on the inaugural webinar, yes.
That was great. And Kalani, who has journeyed back from the underworld, all three of you were really great. But I loved him saying, you know, water is the physical manifestation of spirit. We go, of course, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I loved him tying in the science article that said, scientists now think that water emerged from the great originating cloud, and so that actually water is older than the sun.
Well, anybody who thumps a Bible knows that that the great abyss, that cosmic sea, was out there long before. I mean, we talk about it with wind power too. That the breath of God, which has got H2O in it, was out there in the void, in that very beginning of Genesis, and the sun's not invented till day four. So a lot of things are older than the sun, and we shouldn't be surprised that water, the giver of life, is one of them.
And maybe we go to Standing Rock and the literalness of that, and also what it represents around the world of people, you know, standing up and more, to go, water, there's only so much water on this planet. You know, did everyone know that? It's a finite amount, and we keep sucking it out of sustaining life for foreseeable future.
Yeah, the fact that indigenous peoples around the world are the ones calling the world's attention to the fact that we seem to be hell-bent on destroying the very fabric of and the context for life on this planet. And, people like Noam Chomsky and others have sort of puzzled that, you know, why do the most advanced civilizations not get that they're taking apart the very fabric of the ecology with so much extraction and the like? Incredible. But I two things. I wanted to say I was all thumbs on the phone here trying to email you for one of those passes to Bioneers, but I'm going to have to pass on Bioneers this year. We've been looking to do some presentations, and we may do something next year. We've been working around Kalani's health and travel abilities, but I think next year we'll probably do something up there. But the other thing is, I think we owe a debt of gratitude to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He has expurgated. He has unveiled the obscene, as you so notably put it. The obscene is the stuff that happens off stage.
Right.
And he has unveiled that in terms of the politics in the U.S. He started with the Republican Party and the billionaires, and a year ago, he's making those kinds of things, pulling back the veil, pulling back the curtain. And I'm not sure that he's doing it wittingly.
No.
He's not doing it wittily, that's for sure, either.
No.
But he's doing it nonetheless. And I think the unraveling, I'd rather see the Republican Party unravel than the environment. So that's...
Right, but it isn't.
Story, and I'm sticking to it.
No, I love that. No, absolutely, it's our story, and we're sticking to it. And that's why I loved, our frequent guest and ally Patricia Ewing on the Monday Trickster Council that I convene on the online. As I was saying, I felt poisoned by the last debate, going no, and she's like, no, I'm having a blast. This is really good for us because, you know, Donald Trump is the physical vulgar cartoon animation of demonic whatever, and he's taking down everything, not just the Republicans, but really, you know, the Democratic Party. I mean, everything in a sense, like blah, 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 blah. You know, and she was so upbeat, and that's why other people on the call were like, I'll have what she's having. You know, to come into an angle of going shadow fest, this is hugely useful opportunity, as Eve was saying, too, to invite people to sanity, because there's a certain point of saturation, you know, like in a glass of water with salt, you add one more grain of salt and it just falls out, wah, you know, of everybody's moment. It's like 7 Days in May, a great political thriller movie that from the 60s. Remember, you know, there's up to no good people, but at a certain point, they can't go further into the evil. They reach their point. It's like NSA whistleblowers, you know, in the NSA for 40 years, and then there comes a moment where they go, I just can't. So, you know, the availability of people to a better dance that water would also, you know, water is the part of us that says we're all in this thing together. You know, there's no pain or suffering we don't all share.
And I hear that Disney is optioning a script for the Deplorables, so we may see an animation.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, a further animation. And also, see, the headlines can't help themselves. You know, somebody emailed me the headline in the news, Trump pulls out of Virginia. And we go, you just can't help it. It's all innuendo. And we go, yes, there's that. And did you ever see the fantastic TV series Brain Dead?
No, I have not.
Okay, I just, you know, there's a few of us who just love it as an analogy. It's really good. It doesn't sound like you want to see it at first, but it's so brilliant campaign coverage. It's, you know, insects from outer space eating half of politicians' brains, causing them to thrive on conflict. It's kind of true. And then you go, you know, Breitbart and whatever, going, oh, the insects got them. Yes, there is that. Tell our dedicated listeners how they can participate in your free webinar every mid-Wednesday month of Applying Indigenuity.
Indeed. I would recommend that they, for those who got availability to Facebook, to go to Applying Indigenuity.
Oh, good.
And Indigenuity is IndigenUity. And it will insist that you're spelling it wrong because it's not in most spell checks.
Right, yes, resist spell check.
Exactly right. But if you go there, you'll find some posts about the whole registration process and the like. And we had the first, we're going to be doing 18 months of these webinars on the middle Wednesday of every month. If you look on a calendar, almost every month has got a single middle Wednesday. And we had two this month, yesterday and next week. But we thought we would start on Indigenous Peoples Day, the traditional Indigenous Peoples Day. And it's one of the things I've always liked about working in Indian country, because they observe tradition. So if you've got a holiday and a lot of people observe it on a Monday, they'll observe it on a Monday, but they'll also take the traditional day, too. So you can get a twofer sometimes holiday.
But so how is Indigenous Peoples Day? May it be all year, every day. But how is that scheduled? I mean, why is it October 12th every year, or what?
It's October 12th. What used to be the day that Columbus, the discovery of Columbus on the beach. that discovery. We've taken that day over. We've occupied Columbus Day, and it's now Indigenous Peoples Day, and states all across and cities, governments are observing that officially. But they always go with the first Monday, you know, the closest Monday. So we can do that too, but we're going with whenever that day actually appears in a traditional day.
Right,
middle Wednesday, though, is just the middle of the calendar. If you put a dart in the middle of your wall calendar and spun it, it's the middle Wednesday. That's how you know when it'll be.
Ah, ancient traditional Indigenous practice.
It's central to the lunar system.
Right, just throw a dart at your calendar. That's very important. So many people know this, but I loved, since you told me years ago, the word indigenuity, and I always love attributing, because it's great ally etiquette, team. Yes, it is. And I go, who coined that term? And you said?
a Dan Wildcat student.
Right.
He was recognized in Curtis.
Curtis Catawba,
Catawba, right. And he was recognized in Dan's story yesterday, and Dan was the second speaker. I got to introduce it and sort of lay out the setting, and then we had two gems. Dan Wildcat, Dr. Dan Wildcat, who's been guiding the Indigenous Peoples Climate Change Workshop, a convener out of Haskell, and has been working with the tribal colleges across the country for the last decade. In fact, a little over a week ago, we had a convening of our 10th anniversary meeting, and 2 days down at Haskell. And the first day was basically looking back at what's been accomplished and looking back, remembering those who've gone on, who've been really significant in advocating for Indigenous people, tribal peoples. And that's why we opened this one particularly with dedicating it to Pat Spears, his memory. And while he was our president at Intertribal Coup, we've decided we cannot fill those boots, so he remains our president in memoriam. So we've decided to do that. It's not a bad idea with presidents, you know. You get a good one, hold on to them if you can, as you never know what you're going to get otherwise. But
right.
So we had those meetings, and then the second day was, where are we going? What are the opportunities and the like? And there's a whole lot of young students coming up from all over the country who are interested in making a difference on this. So it's a very hopeful movement of Indigenous peoples. And we think that there is a real opportunity for the whole country to recognize that, as Dan said in his presentation, well, it's attributed to Einstein that you cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. So we're suggesting that humbly, a different mindset, one that didn't create the problem, might be found in various Indigenous cultures, particularly if you are looking at a particular ecological problem in a particular place where there happens to have been a culture that has been there for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And let's look to those deeply rooted, long-term, seasoned cultures which are still carried by people who may have been removed. They may be living somewhere else right now, but they've got long, long, deep ties to those places where they have come from. And we can look to see in their cultures what maybe some guidance for how best to restore the ecology, to build resilience in those ecological areas, and especially in a time of climate change where we're seeing a lot of the ecological systems under threat, coming to us not from the abstraction of climate change, but coming in the bearers of climate change, which is weather extremes that are coming. You know, every day we're breaking records one way or another around the planet. So we need to, appreciate that and look to the best minds who've had the longest experience in those places.
Right.
And they're the Indigenous peoples.
And I think making the connection, you know, which is fracking is grabbing earth pussy. I mean, it's the connection there. But, so I want to go back also to, people can...
There was a shirt someone had on at a meeting I was at. It was on our day, and it said fracking. It even sounds dirty.
Right, yes. And I do tell people everywhere in story crafting, you know, workshops and whatnot about your skill, your metaphoric agility, that when you're talking to right-wing Christians, you have a PowerPoint that says, we don't want the fuels from hell, oil and gas. We want the fuels from heaven, sun and wind. And that is...
Exactly. Tapping hellfire is surely what's causing us to warm the planet. We've been tapping hellfire.
That's right. And true. Right.
And true.
Yeah. No, that's really great. And also people can hear the recording of yesterday's thing, and yes, the Facebook Applying Indigenuity, but also on my website I have our radio show posted in KPFA's as well with the link to your conference, so people can just click on that as well. And yes, all hail Pat Spears, honored your buddy and wonderful human and also guest of this show. And
absolutely,
yeah.
I should say that you've got to be registered. You register in, and then you can access. We're going to be archiving all of these shows, and you can access them, but you've got to register and to get access to them.
It was pretty easy. I registered like 1 minute after it started. in keeping with Pat Spears, but I also love when Pat was dying and the doctors were grim about you're going to die, whatever. You said to him, Pat, you've never been on time for anything in your life. Why start?
They gave him 30 days and he lived 90 days, just pure obstinance.
Because why start to be on time and obedient? But I also love Dr. Dan Wildcat because, like yourself, he was expressing the kind of... There's dire things, but the jaunty aplomb, and he was talking about so many of his students going to Standing Rock, and this bright spiritedness. And I just wanted to kind of toss that back to you, because so often on Facebook, we're the allies, who happen to be white people, but are full of kind of vituperative, like, ah, man. And I go, you know, the people there aren't as viciously vituperative in their tone as you. Can I throw that to you to comment on?
There is a sense of wonderment that's going on up there. I was up there about 2 weeks ago, and I'm heading back there now. That's what the path I'm on. Stopping in Pier for court. We're still trying to stop the Keystone pipeline.
Wow, yes, we're putting it, yeah.
Because the South Dakota Public Utility Commission has granted their permit, despite the fact that President Obama pulled the plug on Keystone. The president only has jurisdiction over about 20 feet of the Keystone pipeline, and that's where it crosses the border. But the pipeline has been put in the ground in many places already in South Dakota, and there are pipelines on the eastern side for the original Keystone. The Keystone XL, they haven't put that in the ground yet, but they've still got what is now called an active permit, because they waited 4 years and did nothing, and then they had to get it recertified. We went through the recertification process last summer, and the PUC granted their recertification, which means they're good to go, but they haven't done anything in the ground yet. But the fact that that they're still holding that permit, you know, the dread was if Donald Trump got in, he is a president who might grant that 20 feet of jurisdiction and allow the tar sands to be spilled through the United States from Montana all the way down to Texas.
And we don't. So we don't know about Hillary, do we?
And we don't know. She's come out against it, but was not. She didn't come out as Secretary of State, and couldn't, because there was a recommendation, official recommendation, she would have to make as Secretary of State, and she was not going to do that before the studies were done, and additional studies have been done. But they've been found to be faulty, which is why the Kerry recommended against it, and the president then denied that national permit, and that was one of the conditions that they obtained the national permit, that the South Dakota permit was granted on, and they haven't, and they can't at this point get it during this administration, but yet the PUC said, well, you're still good to go as far as we're concerned. So we're taking that to the state court and trying to have the PUC decision overturned. We had tried to bring the issue of the tar sands coming through that pipeline and being burned at the other end, and we had Jim Hansen lined up to be an expert witness on behalf of the tribes to talk about the results of that pipeline be functioning and delivering tar sands to consumption on the planet, and we were overruled to bring him in. He was excluded. Climate was declared irrelevant to the Keystone Pipeline. So, you know, we're taking this to the state court, and we'll see what kind of chops the state court judges have on this take.
And I just want to take this opportunity in regard to Hillary or anybody, we're not going to hold their feet to the fire because that's a torture metaphor that leads to Gitmo. We're going to invite them around the fire and make s'mores or whatever. I mean, accountability, but I'm just concerned citizens for metaphoric agility. Now back to you.
We're going to cut back on the fires, too, so that we don't have more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
That's
good. Absolutely right.
That's very good. So what would you like our dedicated listenership to do?
One of the things I noticed that since this being broadcast out of California, there were a number of California state offices that had tuned in and or at least registered or become aware of the webinar and are now asking to be able to hear it because apparently they think that indigenuity might be something worth looking into. So actually I was surprised to see some emails from various state and local governments out of California wanting to know how they can join in. So we're very happy to help folks on that. But we're going up to Standing Rock right after that for the weekend to meet with the local district, the Cannonball District community, and talk about where we can put a temporary straw bale building. Temporary because you really can't be building a permanent structure now. Straw bale is best built between the frosts during the summer building season. But we can get a temporary structure up, and you can't do the finishing plasters and all of that during frost and cold weather. The moisture doesn't evaporate, doesn't dry out, it freezes and then cracks. So we're going to be doing some temporary measures, but it's an opportunity to build a little meeting hall out of straw bale and demonstrate that you don't need big fires. With insulation, you can stay warm without having to burn a lot of fuel, whether it's wood pellets or propane or whatever whatever's being brought in.
Okay, we're going to have to exit here, but we are in cahoots in perpetuity.
Absolutely.
No, applying indigenuity. Again, we will all sign up for this. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Bob Goff. Wonderful. I'm Caroline Casey. I will see you on October 20th, 7 p.m. at Open Secret, 923 C Street, San Rafael. That's Woo, pre-election Halloween Town Hall, Astro-Mythopolitical Guiding Meta-Narrative. And then Friday, October 21st, you can come anyway, 9 p.m., Flora Fauna 2016, at the Exhibit Hall of the Marin Civic Center, Astro-Political Mytho-Guiding Strategy. It's part of Bioneers.com. Thank you all so much. Thanks to Eve Ensler. Thanks to you, Bob Goff. Thanks always to Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C., and Erica Bridgman in Berkeley. I'm Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com, and I will tell the Bioneers winners in a moment. Okay, woof, woof, woof.
Oakland's distinguished African-American dance company, Dimensions Dance Theater, presents Project Panther, a historical and cultural exploration of the Black Panther Party on the occasion of its 50th anniversary. You're invited to experience this timely reflection on race, politics, and community in our contemporary moment. This event takes place at the Malonga Cascalord Center for the Arts, 1428 Alice Street in Oakland, for one night only, Saturday, October 15th at 8 p.m. All proceeds benefit Dimensions Dance Theater's artistic and educational programs. For details, call 510-465-3363 or visit www.dimensionsdance.org.
On October 15th at 8 a.m., the Drama Factory invites you to the first annual Monster Dash 5K run or walk to support the arts. This will take place at the Concha Loma Regional Park in Antioch. There will also be a one-mile run for kids. After the race, you are welcome to stick around to participate in or just watch the costume parade. Although the complete course is not wheelchair accessible, the costume parade is. For more information and to register, please go to monster-run.eventbrite.com. This is a benefit for the Drama Factory, working to ensure no-cost participation and access to the arts.